Between these fires and Trump's inauguration, it's been an insane, historic 2 weeks. A lot of people are saying they're sick of living in unprecedented times and want to go back to precedented times.
Yes. Count me in. Count me in for precedented times.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. We're also heard on fine terrestrial affiliates elsewhere in California and Oregon and Pennsylvania, Hawaii, Ohio, New York, Louisiana, New Mexico, New Hampshire, Arkansas, Washington State, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and also coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brant Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from BrantBlog.com, where, by the way, we are now celebrating 21 years of troublemaking, muckraking, blogging, broadcasting, and everything else, Desi Doyen.
Woo-hoo!
So happy anniversary as we head into our 22nd year. Good Lord. Hey, let's start with the good news, shall we? It rained over the weekend here in Southern California for the first time in nearly a year, and it rained quite a bit. That means the two major fires that we have been dealing with for the last 3 weeks are all but fully contained at this point, and thus endeth the good news portion of today's broadcast.
Indeed, that is true.
Unless,
Anyway, just because there are some mud flows and other things going on, but overall, no huge damage. So far, so good. Yeah.
And as I said, that's about the only good we've got today. Unless, of course, you've got some good and you'd like to share it with us today. Now, I don't know that we'll be able to do this thanks to some breaking news on our way over to the studio here that I'm going to have to shoehorn into everything else I had hoped to get to today. But our phone number, if the radio gods allow, is 818-985-5735. I hope to keep in touch, in close touch with you when we can open the phones. Because it kind of feels to me somewhat like it did during the COVID years, in that we were here every time we could be, every chance we could be here at KPFK, because we wanted to talk to people and hear from people, and we felt it was important to keep the lines open and keep the community in touch with each other. It kind of feels like that now in many ways. That said, we've got so much to get to today, I don't know if we will get to the phones or not. But if we do, 818-985-KPFK if you'd like to line up now. We are beginning, as I say, week two of the second presidency of a convicted felon, adjudicated rapist, and adjudicated insurrectionist by the name of Donald Trump. This comes after the first week, actually the first day, and these extraordinary pardons that Donald Trump issued to thousands of insurrectionists and seditionists, ending the sentences of hundreds of violent felons from jail, including those who had attacked more than 100 law enforcement officers who these people were armed with firearms and stun guns and flagpoles and fire extinguishers and bike racks and batons and a metal whip and office furniture and pepper spray and bear spray and a tomahawk axe and a hatchet and a hockey stick and knuckle gloves and a baseball bat and a mass Trump billboard and Trump flags and a pitchfork and pieces of lumber and crutches and even an explosive device, because yes, they were armed. In case you were still being lied to by your favorite news sources out there, they were armed. And like I say, if you'd like to share your thoughts about it, 818-985-5735, but Polling in the days both before and after Trump emptied the jails of violent criminals and insurrectionists onto the American streets strongly suggests that America opposes what he did. And unfortunately, that is where we begin much today with the not good news portion of our show already underway this week. A lot has happened since we last spoke late last week, and we'll try to get you caught up on the most important of it. A lot of it, as usual, during a Trump presidency was and is just stupid, and I will try to not waste your time with that. But this seems important. Usually we try to stick to what Trump actually does rather than what he says, but this seems important. And yes, also a criminal act in and of itself under international law. The new president called for ethnic cleansing in the Middle East. So yeah, that seems important. Specifically, I hope it's seen as important by those who called or wrote into the show over the past year or so to tell me what a man of peace that Donald Trump is, and why the position of the last administration on Israel and Gaza, no matter how terrible and or failed it was, well, that was reason enough to vote for someone else, someone who would result in the second Trump presidency, or who thought that the Biden-Harris position was good enough reason to not vote at all, despite what it appears and what we all knew before was going to be Donald Trump's position on Israel and Gaza.
I mean, you're talking about probably 1.5 million people, and we just clean out that whole thing. It's, you know, it's over the centuries, that's had many, many conflicts, that site. And I don't know, it's something has to happen, but it's literally a demolition site right now. Almost everything's demolished, and people are dying there. So I'd rather get involved with some of the Arab nations and build housing at a different location where they can maybe live in peace.
Temporarily, or would they?
It could be either. It could be temporarily. It could be long term.
So I don't know how well you could hear that. It was on Air Force One, but Donald Trump told reporters on Air Force One on Saturday that he wants Jordan and Egypt to take Palestinians from Gaza into their territory, quote, temporarily or long term, so that the area could be, quote, cleaned out. 1.5 million people, he said. We just clean out that whole thing, he said. Build housing in a different location for them. I mean, after all, why use that beautiful seaside property, you know, for them? Perhaps we could use it for new resorts and golf courses for the people who, you know, who could really enjoy it rather than the people who have lived there for centuries. They can live elsewhere, other countries. That's what Egypt and Jordan are for, right? The absorption of Palestinian refugees into Jordan after the 1948 war, some of them were forcibly displaced by Israel at the time, that became one of the most significant events in the history of the kingdom. Egypt, meanwhile, sees the transfer of Palestinians from Gaza to its territory as a threat to national security. At the beginning of the war, when Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu raised this idea, the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi made it clear that such a move would jeopardize the peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. That didn't keep Donald Trump from calling for it, however. And of course, once those folks are moved, if they are moved out of Gaza, they will not be moved back. They will all be, quote, cleaned out from that area. So that's why I was curious. I wanted to hear from folks who voted for Donald Trump or for Donald Trump by voting via a third party or by not voting at all. Is that what you were voting for? Is this what you were voting for? Complete literal ethnic cleansing out of Gaza. How about all of the anti-discrimination programs here in the U.S., dismantling them? Were you voting for that? Dismantling anti-discrimination programs in the United States federal government that were put in place decades ago during the administration of Lyndon B. Johnson, amid the turmoil of the civil rights era in the fight to end Jim Crow. Ending all of the so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that were enacted by LBJ, but signed into non-existence with the stroke of his pen in his first full day in office last week by Donald Trump. Is that what you were hoping to see? The abolition of decades of non-discrimination standards in the federal government and federal contracting? The end of diversity and equal opportunity and a threatened crackdown on the same in the private sector by the federal government? Anyway, if I can't get to the phones, feel free to drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. I would love to hear, is that what you were voting for? Trump's order on that last week, if you hadn't heard, revokes an order that President Johnson signed in September of 1965. More than 2 years after Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial, LBJ's order gave the Secretary of Labor the authority to ensure equal opportunity for people of color and women in federal contractors' recruitment and hiring and training and other employment practices. It required that federal contractors refrain from employment discrimination and take affirmative action to ensure opportunity, quote, based on race, color, religion, and national origin. The order came more than a year after Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and just months after he signed the Voting Rights Act following violent attacks on voting rights advocates in Selma, Alabama. But now that has been reversed. The reversal comes after five Republican presidents, including Trump during his first term, kept the Johnson executive order in place, the Johnson executive order that ended discrimination in the federal government, or was supposed to. Others actually expanded that order by LBJ, but now it's got to go, I guess. Segregationists during Johnson's time actually opposed that executive order vociferously, but now the segregationists have their man in office, it seems. In the bargain, close Trump allies, they want to dramatically change the government's interpretation of civil rights era laws themselves to focus on, quote, anti-white racism rather than discrimination against people of color, according to Axios. Which is likely why the Trump administration has, for the moment, ordered the Civil Rights Division at DOJ to stop all enforcement actions. The directives halt ongoing civil rights cases, directing the Civil Rights Unit to not pursue any new indictments or cases or settlements. And according to law enforcement experts, this could jeopardize police reform agreements that were finalized in recent months in Minneapolis and Louisville. With the issuance of an executive order, Donald Trump has declared war on equal employment and contracting opportunities in the federal government for black and brown people and for women, said Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia in a statement his office sent me over the weekend. Quote, he seeks to make America great again by turning back the clock and dismantling decades of progress made by black people in America since enactment of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It won't work. The congressman vows. We'll see if he's right. He went on to say, quote, make no mistake, this executive order does not protect civil rights. To the contrary, it gives federal government officials and complicit federal contractors a green light to engage in discriminatory practices that exclude minorities and women from employment and contracting opportunities. This order, he says, is a blatant step backwards, a reversal of 60 years of progress. It not only seeks to end diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in government, it represents a refusal to enforce the civil rights laws that protect minorities and women from systemic racism and its persistent effects that remain as barriers to equal opportunity. That was Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia. But laws, you know, are not really Donald Trump's things. Which we will get to in a minute. The rule of law is for suckers and for losers, apparently, in Trump world. Just like giving your life for your country in the military. That's for suckers and losers. And he hates the military as much as he hates the law enforcement. When you hear them say back the blue, I really do hope you will laugh in their face and ask if they backed the blue when Trump released hundreds of attempted cop killers onto the streets in his very first day in office. But is this what you voted for? Speaking of what Republicans now describe as lowering standards to allow for diversity, equity, and inclusion, late on Friday night, the Senate confirmed Fox News weekend morning co-host, accused rapist, and public drunk Pete Hegseth as the nation's defense secretary to lead the most lethal military force in the world and the Pentagon's 3 million employees and its $850 billion a year annual budget. His confirmation came amid a dramatic late-night tie-breaking vote by new vice president and president of the Senate, J.D. Vance, after three Republicans voted against Hegseth. In response to questions about multiple reports of heavy drinking, assault, and aggressive behavior toward women, one instance of which resulted in him paying the women $50,000 to keep quiet about it, after it had been reported as a rape to law enforcement officials, repeated marital infidelity and gross financial mismanagement of two tiny veterans organizations that he led at one point or another. That's just to name a few of the allegations against Pete Hegseth. He also repeatedly stated that there is no role for women in combat. That guy is now your new Secretary of Defense. That's usually a role that receives vast bipartisan, sometimes unanimous support in the U.S. Senate. This time, it was a tie, with the vice president casting the vote in Hegseth's favor for, by the way, only the second time in U.S. history that a presidential cabinet appointment was determined by a tie-breaking vote of the vice president. The only other time that has ever happened in the history of this nation, if you're wondering, was the vote for Betsy DeVos, Donald Trump's pick to head the Department of Education during his first term. The only Republicans of the 53 in the U.S. Senate right now to have the courage to vote against Hegseth: Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Just one more Republican vote against Hegseth would have blocked his nomination. Senator Joni Ernst, who is a military veteran and a sexual assault survivor, she voted in favor of Hegseth, to her eternal shame, after Trump's minions strong-armed the Iowa senator. But if having a drunkard and womanizer who appears to be wide open to being compromised and blackmailed, a man with no experience at all at the Pentagon or running anything even close to the largest and most lethal organization in the world, if that has you concerned, well, you probably won't rest any easier knowing who the Senate also confirmed to head the Department of Homeland Security, which, if you didn't know, the Department of Homeland Security is a sprawling department. It oversees U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, which manages the nation's borders and facilitates lawful international travel and trade. It oversees FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which coordinates the federal government's response to natural and man-made disasters. It oversees the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, ensuring the security of the traveling public in the U.S. It also oversees ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which enforces immigration laws and investigates criminal activities related to the movement of people and goods, and, of course, under a Donald Trump administration, rounds up millions and millions of people, as he will tell us. The Department of Homeland Security also oversees the Secret Service, which protects national leaders and investigates financial crimes as well. It oversees the U.S. Coast Guard, which provides maritime safety, security, and environmental stewardship, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, which protects against cyber threats and ensures the security of critical infrastructure from dams to the nation's power supply to computerized voting systems used in every state in the union. So for that small job, Donald Trump selected the governor of South Dakota. That would be Kristi Noem, the nice lady who appears to have received free cosmetic dental surgery from a dentist in Texas in exchange for a 5-minute Twitter video promoting his services even while she was serving as governor. and who lied about staring down North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in person. She wrote about it in her book, even though, as it turns out, she never even met the man, nor was ever even in the same room with the man. You may know her best as the lady who took her family's puppy named Cricket to the gravel pit on her property to put a bullet into Cricket's head. Killing a puppy. Before killing the family puppy, or after killing the family puppy, she went on to kill the family goat in the very same way, in the very same gravel pit for some reason or other, which, by the way, appears to be her entire resume when it comes to homeland security. Well, that and sending members of South Dakota's National Guard down to the southern border, which she describes as a, quote, invasion, adding the, quote, it is a war zone down there. Who knew? She accepted a $1 million donation from a Tennessee billionaire to help cover the cost of that deployment, however, so don't worry. That war zone will be covered. The Senate confirmed Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary on Saturday, putting the South Dakota governor in charge of the sprawling agency that is essential to national security and President Donald Trump's plans to clamp down on illegal immigration. The vote in the Senate on Saturday was 59-34. All Republicans voted in favor, and shamefully, six Democratic senators voted for her as well, even as though she didn't need their votes for confirmation. For the record, those Democrats who voted in favor of Noem as Secretary of DHS were Senators John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Andy Kim of New Jersey, Gary Peters and Alyssa Slotkin, both of Michigan, and Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire. Noem has been had been scheduled to be sworn in by Vice President Vance on Saturday, but for some reason, she stood him up, didn't make it there in time to be sworn in. Instead, she was sworn in by the corrupt Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas at his home later that night. Make of that what you will. Weird. Nobody's been able to explain it.
That is really weird.
I guess he's lucky she didn't take him down to the gravel pit. We'll see how long she lasts, by the way, in her new job. Six people cycled through that position as the Secretary of Homeland Security during Donald Trump's first four-year term. During her Senate confirmation, Noem was repeatedly asked by Democratic senators whether she would administer disaster aid to states via FEMA, even if Donald Trump asked her not to. That's sort of an important issue for folks out here in California, specifically here in Los Angeles these days. Noem avoided answering that question, saying that saying that she would defy the president, but she did tell lawmakers, quote, I will deliver the programs according to the law, and that will be done with no political bias. We will see. Whether she does or doesn't deliver programs according to the law, however, that may be difficult to know for certain following Donald Trump's Friday night massacre, or at least his attempted Friday night massacre of the one independent body still sort of left in the federal government's executive branch, which might be able to carry out some form of accountability for officials like Kristi Noem and agencies like the ones she now leads. With the presidency itself now allowed to commit pretty much any and all crimes that the president may wish, according to the Supreme Court's discovery of heretofore unknown passages of the U.S. Constitution that give somehow immunity from all crimes to presidents of the United States, and the Department of Justice fully captured and now run by Donald Trump's apparatchik, including his personal defense attorneys. And we've got more news out of the DOJ momentarily, breaking this afternoon. But without that, perhaps the only means by which accountability can be had in any way for members of the executive branch is the independent inspectors general system. So naturally, Trump tried to dismantle them entirely in one fell swoop on Friday night. The Trump administration announced it was firing about 17 independent inspectors general at government agencies. 17 a sweeping action to remove oversight of his new administration that some members of Congress are suggesting violated federal oversight laws. They are suggesting it because it clearly did. But of course, who is left to enforce such laws? The dismissals began Friday night. They were effective immediately, according to two people familiar with the actions. Neither confirmed the exact number of firings, but an email sent by one of the fired inspectors general said, quote, roughly 17 inspectors general had been removed. Trump confirmed the move in a conversation with reporters on Air Force One on Saturday, claiming, quote, it's a very common thing to do, but no, it is not a very common thing to do, at least not like this. Congress was not given the legally required 30-day notices about and explanations for the removals as required by law. Something that even a top Republican is decrying in the Senate. Quote, there may be good reason the IGs were fired. We need to know that. If so, said Senator Chuck Grassley, of all people, the Republican of Iowa, and he's also chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He said that in a statement, adding that he would, quote, like further explanation from President Trump. Regardless, he said, the 30-day detailed notice of removal that the law demands was not provided to Congress. Well, laws. The role of the modern-day inspector general dates back to post-Watergate Washington, when Congress installed offices inside of federal agencies as an independent check against mismanagement and the abuse of power, which we learned something about during Nixon. Though inspectors general are presidential appointees, some serve presidents of both parties. All are expected to be nonpartisan. Democrats and watchdog groups raised the alarm that Donald Trump was making it easier to take advantage of the government. Oh, you think? Max Steyer, president and CEO of the Nonpartisan Partnership for Public Service, said in a statement, quote, inspector generals are the cops on the beat preventing bad things from happening. Their work saves the taxpayer tens of billions of dollars every year. Well, of course, that's one of the reasons they had to go, isn't it? Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York said Saturday on the chamber floor, quote, this is a chilling purge, and it's a review, and it's a preview of the lawless approach that Donald Trump and his administration are taking far too often as he's becoming president. He's right, but hey, Chuck, what you going to do about it? Schumer said the dismissals are, quote, possibly in violation of federal law. Possibly? And they help demonstrate that the move, quote, is a glaring sign that it's golden age for abuse in government and even corruption. It is not possibly in violation of the law, Senator. It is in violation of federal law, which pretty clearly and simply reads in the removal procedure section of the Inspector General Law found in Title V, Section 403B of the U.S. Code. It reads in part, quote, an inspector general may be removed from office by the president. If an inspector general is removed from office or is transferred to another position or location within an establishment, the president shall communicate in writing the substantive rationale, including detailed and case-specific reasons for any such removal or transfer to both houses of Congress, including the appropriate congressional committees, not later than 30 days before the removal or transfer. Now, I'm no lawyer, but that sounds pretty clear to me. Is that what you voted for? The Washington Post, which first reported the findings, said that many of those fired were appointees from Trump's first term, IGs that he appointed, and that Joe Biden allowed to remain on, as is not particularly unusual. Among those inspectors general reportedly removed included those for the Departments of Agriculture, for Commerce, for Defense, for Education. In a lengthy statement on Saturday, the chair of the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, an independent entity that represents the interests of government watchdogs, noted that the inspectors general conduct their, quote, oversight in a strictly nonpartisan manner. They are, quote, appointed by law without regard to their political affiliation. He suggested that the firings violated the legal requirements that presidents notify Congress 30 days before firing an IG and provide a detailed rationale for that decision. Quote, IGs are not immune from removal, he said. However, the law must be followed to protect independent government oversight for America. One of the inspectors general told the Washington Post, quote, it's a widespread massacre. Whoever Trump puts in now will be viewed as loyalists, and that undermines the entire system. But of course, that's the point, isn't it? Is that what you voted for? Were you hoping to undermine the entire system? Give me a call. 818-985-5735. I know a lot of people who supported Donald Trump. They'll call into the show at, you know, when there's 3 minutes left. Do it now. 818-985-5735. Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, noted that IGs are, quote, critical to rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse throughout the federal government. The mass firings were, quote, alarming, she said. Congressman Gerald Connolly of Virginia, a Democrat who is the ranking member of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, called it a, quote, coup to overthrow legally protected independent inspectors general. He also suggested that the move, coming on just the fourth full day of Donald Trump's second term, could potentially free up a series of positions that can now subsequently be filled with loyalists who are strongly sympathetic to the Trump administration. Oh, you think? Connolly said, quote, replacing independent inspectors general with political hacks will harm every American who relies on Social Security, veterans benefits, and a fair hearing at the IRS on refunds and audits. Trump has aggressively challenged the authority of independent agency watchdog groups in the past. In 2020, he replaced multiple key inspectors general, including those leading the Defense Department and intelligence community, as well as the inspector general tapped to chair a special oversight board for the $2.2 trillion economic relief package on the coronavirus. In response, just 2 years ago, Congress strengthened that part of the law by requiring that the notice to include a substantive rationale, including details and case-specific reasons for the removal. That's the law. Donald Trump doesn't care about the law. But you knew this, right? That's why you voted for him, right? Or that's why you voted for a third party so that he would get in, right? Or that's why you stayed home and didn't vote at all just to make it a little bit easier for Donald Trump to come in and rewrite the 20th century, to repeal the 20th century. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts called Trump's actions, quote, a purge of independent watchdogs in the middle of the night. She said inspectors general are charged with rooting out government waste, fraud, abuse, and preventing misconduct. She said President Trump is dismantling checks on his power and paving the way for widespread corruption. That way has already been well paved, Senator. The widespread corruption is not coming. The widespread corruption is here. Those checks on his power already dismantled. The inspector generals were just about the only ones left. So, of course, they had to go too. And for good measure this afternoon, it looks like a massacre as we go to air is now underway at DOJ, the Department of Justice as well. That, according to CNN, breaking within the hour just before airtime today. Let me take a quick break and we will come back and talk about that story and talk, if you like, if time allows, with you at 818-985-5735. Is this what you voted for if you voted for Donald Trump? Maybe so. 818-985-KPFK. Is that what those of you who voted for a third party or didn't vote at all wanted to make it easier for Trump to win and or claim a mandate. Is that what you were hoping for? And if you aren't, by the way, one of the aforementioned groups, but you voted against Donald Trump because you knew this is how he hoped to break America in favor of autocratic rule to the benefit of himself and his fellow oligarchs. If that was you, well, I'd be happy to hear from you, too, and see how you're doing right now. Are you surprised by any of this? Because really, I'm not. As we discussed on the show last week with Digby and Driftglass, this is, by and large, what Donald Trump promised, what he threatened, and what Project 2025 promised to deliver, despite Trump's pretending to distance himself from that far-right 900-page Republican manifesto to, yes, repeal the 20th century and replace all of those in any sort of law enforcement role with loyalists to the president. Remove all the law enforcement officials who might stop him from doing anything. Give us a call as week two of the second Trump era begins, 818-985-5735. I would love to hear from you no matter what is on your mind today. I'm Brad Friedman, and you're listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Give us a call, 818-985-5735. We'll try to get to you momentarily. But this breaking news, it does not end with the inspectors general that he was firing, that Donald Trump fired up to seven, at least, or as many as 17 of them on Friday. More than a dozen career officials who worked on the criminal investigations into Donald Trump have been fired, according to sources familiar with the matter via CNN and now others late this afternoon. A letter from Acting Attorney General James McHenry to the officials said that they cannot be, quote, trusted to, quote, faithfully implement Trump's agenda. Quote, given your significant role in prosecuting the president, I do not believe that the leadership of the department can trust you to assist in implementing the president's agenda faithfully, McHenry wrote, as he fired anyone, apparently, who was involved in the Jack Smith prosecutions against Donald Trump. The firings come as Trump administration is also taking concrete steps to investigate prosecutors who oversaw the criminal cases against January 6th. Defendants, they must go as well as Trump vowed to seek retribution as a key pledge of his campaign. That, according to multiple sources who have seen an internal memo on the matter. Ed Martin, the interim U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., has launched an investigation into prosecutors who brought obstruction charges under U.S. Code 1512 against some of the January 6 insurrectionists that were ultimately tossed out because of a Supreme Court decision last summer. He refers to it as a special project. This in a memo that was issued Monday, that the attorneys should hand over, quote, all information that you have related to the use of 1512 charges, including all files, documents, notes, emails, and other information, to two of the office's long-term prosecutors who must submit a report on the probe by Friday. It is a Monday morning massacre, and it is underway right now at the DOJ as we go to air. This is from Ed Martin, the acting attorney general in Washington, D.C., from the office of the attorney general. Subject: notice of removal from federal service. This letter provides official notice that you are being removed from your position at the Department of Justice and from the federal service, effective immediately. As President Trump declared on his first day back in office, quote, the American people have witnessed the previous administration engage in a systematic campaign against its perceived political opponents, weaponizing the legal force of numerous federal law enforcement agencies against those perceived political opponents in the form of investigations, prosecutions, civil enforcement actions, and other related actions. Nowhere was that effort more salient than in the unprecedented prosecutions the Department of Justice vigorously pursued against President Trump himself. You played a significant role in prosecuting President Trump. The proper functioning of government critically depends on the trust superior officials place in their subordinates. Given your significant role in the prosecuting the president, I do not believe that the leadership of the department can trust you to assist in implementing the president's agenda faithfully. As a result, pursuant to Article 2 of the Constitution and the laws of the U.S., your employment with the Department of Justice is hereby terminated and you are removed from federal service effective immediately. Those letters are going out to a bunch of folks. Is that what you voted for? I know for a lot of folks who voted for Donald Trump, that's exactly what they voted for. Retribution. Let's go to Maurice in Van Nuys. Maurice, sir, welcome to the broadcast. Line number two. Do we have? There we go. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. What's going on, brother?
Okay. I've been following KFPK for years, but I just want to say this. I'm 70 years old. I was born in 1954, and when they integrated schools, my dad was one of the first Ford black mechanics. My mom had a job, and when we went to school, it was initiated that we had to learn and all this. So I was following the American dream as a black man, but I encountered a lot of discrimination then, and then now seeing that, because, you know, things go in intervals of how many years, 20, 50, or four, whatever. But the people that voted for Trump right now, that he got in his corner, he doesn't, because when you think about economic income and things like that, the poor white people that didn't want to vote for Obama or any of that, all that, that, well, it's Obamacare. Well, I want the AMC, which is the same thing. And then he's going to, because they're poor, he's going to lead them down to get them in, to get him. He got in office with them. And now, if you're in the economic class, he's going to ditch those people because he's not really for them, but he said he was. Now, in my neighborhood, I have a house in Van Nuys, and I have come to this conclusion years ago. If you make under $50,000 or under $100,000, or if you make Oprah's money, you're in the same economic class. So this is what people, like when Oprah, she's not discriminated against people that are in the 500 million or whatever her social class is. And like in Van Nuys, a lot of people are distracted because they're thinking about all these other things, but they're not looking. If you're making $50,000, $60,000, I don't care what color you are or what kind, you need to look at the class economics.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, one thing, and this is the last thing I got to say.
Okay.
I grew up believing in America. At every point that I have, I've been disappointed.
Yep.
I know, and then, like, Mexicans, he said he wanted them to vote for him, and they got online. But Hispanics, or whatever you're calling them, they're doing the most progress with their kids.
Maurice, I hear you. I got to get to some other folks. I hate to cut you off, but we got a lot of folks we're going to try to get in here. Thanks for the call, Morris. Let me go to Mary in Burbank. Mary, how you doing?
I've been listening to your program, and I've just all of a sudden gotten incensed one more time. And I just wanted to make a comment. I voted against Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I just...
Oh, no. Did we lose Mary? We just lost Mary. Mary, give us a call back if you can. 818-985-5735. I'm so sorry. We actually have a new phone system in here that we're just trying to figure out. 818-985-5735 if you can give us a call. Mary, let me go to Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike. Do we have it working again there? We don't know. There we go. Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Yeah. Just wanted to observe that firing all those people in the DOJ would make about as much sense as firing the driver who drove Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln to Ford's Theater.
Okay, well said. Well done, Mike. Thank you, sir. He's referring, of course, to the DOJ Monday massacre that is underway. Even as we speak, it continues. It comes on the heels of the Friday night massacre against the Inspectors General, which seems to be unlawful, whether it's unlawful for them to fire all of these folks at DOJ because they had the temerity to carry out the law without fear or favor to, charge the thousands of people who Donald Trump incited to insurrection, which, by the way, seems a greater crime than actually prosecuting those who carried out the insurrection. But what do I know? Thanks, Mike.
Well, consider the progress we've made, though, because back in Nixon's day, they had to wait for the crime to be committed and then fire people who might prosecute for it. Mm. Today, people are getting fired in anticipation of being honest in the events that will be coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because they know that these are straight, honest prosecutors. No, they did not weaponize the DOJ to go after Donald Trump's enemies. That's what Donald Trump is doing. Thanks, Mike. Good speaking with you, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Do we have Mary back? We do, Mary. Mary, sorry about that. Please begin again. Sorry.
I don't know. For some reason, I had to call you. Because I was listening to your show, and I voted against Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and I don't get how, I mean, this guy has shown everybody who he is over the years, and even before that, the way he conducted his business dealings and everything else, and people seem to think that he is going to take care of them when he is not.
No.
Donald Trump is for Donald Trump, and that is it. Yep. And it makes me like crazy right now.
Yep, I hear you.
To even think that how this guy is just letting loose and firing people and putting in all these people who have no idea what they are doing, and especially the guy that was put in the Defense Department. I am a veteran, and I don't know how they can put that guy into a position like that.
Because Donald Trump hates the military just as much as he hates law enforcement. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He needs an apparatchik who will serve him. That's the only thing that matters. That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for your service. Thanks for calling us back twice. Sorry that we had to make you go through that. And listen, don't get crazy. Stay rested.
No.
Stay focused. We're going to get through this mess, and we're going to get through it together.
Well, here's what I can make one more comment. Here's what I'm grateful for, that you and other people have programs like this that we can call in and just say something if we're exasperated, you know?
Yep.
So thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for calling in, exasperated or otherwise. I think it is important. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we were, I think, the only or damn near the only show that was coming in every week during the COVID pandemic for about whatever it was, year and a half, 2 years, because I thought it was important to speak with folks and to keep the public airwaves open. And now, by the way, Project 2025 specifically by name targets Pacifica Radio. Let's see if we can survive that. Let's go to Regina in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Regina, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello. Thank you for everything that you do. So I'm listening to your program, and I'm hearing all this negative stuff, and my feeling is that this administration is trying to wear us down. Mm-hmm. So we have to be strong and focused. So my question to you is, so instead of hearing all this stuff, what can we do as citizens to stand up to this? Do we reach out to our congressmen, to our senators? Do we go in the streets and protest? I mean, we just can't sit back and be idle. We have to be proactive here. So any suggestions as a citizen to stand up to this madness?
Great question, Regina. I would say, for a start, all of the above. I mean, yes, contact yourself. Even if you're, you know, if you're out here in California and you think, oh, my senators aren't going to vote for this person or against that person, you don't know. Speak up. Be heard. Talk to them. When it, you know, this Pete Hegseth vote was very, very close, a tie. And we were, you know, telling people, hey, call your congressperson. You can call the U.S. Capitol at 202-224-3121.
Oh, wait, let me write this down.
Okay, go ahead, grab that. 202-224-3121.
And this is the Capitol.
That's the Capitol. They'll hook you up with either your senator's office or your congressperson's office, 202-224-3121. Tell them what you want them to do on your behalf. As far as hitting the streets, yeah, I suspect we will be there as well. Number one, I think, stay informed. Be very careful of your news sources. Very careful,
oh,
because
yeah.
It was the disinformation.
I don't watch regular news. I don't trust them.
It was the disinformation that brought Donald Trump into office in the first place. And so as far as I'm concerned, that's why I do what I do, to try to tell you what is actually happening. What you do with it, that's another matter. And on that, we're all going to have to work together. Thanks, Regina. I do appreciate the call. 818-985-5735. Larry in San Pedro. Larry, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Brad. We're all scrambling to deal with this shock and awe that all of a sudden he is throwing our way. So I believe that he's not going to go peacefully. He's not going to leave office. He will create a situation, declare an emergency. He will declare martial law. He will nullify the Constitution. And we will not have another election. So I guess I'm saying, Brad, that I'm hoping you will make a little list of subjects that need to be covered at least once a week. And the issue I just mentioned is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to wrap this up, and I'll do that by saying, KPFK listeners, I'm imploring you to send in $25. They're coming after us, and your money will help to stop that.
Thanks.
So thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks for mentioning that, Larry. KPFK, for those listening around the country, is of course our flagship station here in Los Angeles. But if you're listening on another station, another community station, as so many of our affiliates are, support them. Support local media wherever you may be. Local independent media who doesn't lie to you, who doesn't BS you. There you go. We've got a lot of folks. I'll see if I can get to a few more here. Let me go to Diana in Santa Monica, trying to get to some of the women, since we don't hear from them very often. Thank you for calling in, Diana.
Hi there. Well, I have a lot to say. I listen to your program all the time, and I donate all the time to KPFK. He has said exactly what he's going to do, and he did it. I'm not surprised. It was all planned. There are these suits behind closed doors planning this all out, and I've watched their manipulation and how they created this, and how they went about it. It's all really clear if you just watch. He did not win the election. Check with Greg Palast. They manipulated that too when they got him back into the White House.
To be clear, what Greg is saying is that there was enough vote suppression around the country that had those votes not been suppressed and had those voters been allowed to vote, that Kamala Harris would have won. He presents numbers to that. And I just sort of want to give everybody an idea what it was that you were referring to there.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that. They just took you go to whitehouse.gov. You could always look at what's in the Constitution. They wiped it out. It's not there anymore. Their whole idea is to totally take control of this country.
Yep.
They are doing it, and we are in big trouble. What I recommend is that if you've been kind of relaxing and thinking things are going to go pretty well, forget it. You've got to get active. You have got to become an activist. We've got to save this country. It's not the first time we've been in a lot of trouble in this country. We just need to take it in stride, and we need to do everything possible. We need to become every last one of us an activist, at least some part of your life. You need to do that. This is your country.
Thank you, Diana.
That's what we need to do.
Thank you, Diana. Really appreciate those thoughts and that call. Let me see if I can fit one more in here. I know a lot of folks want to get in. We will try to, as I say, we will try to open up the phones as much as we can in the days ahead. Let me go to Marlene in Glendale. Marlene or Marlena in Glendale?
Marlene, hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
No, just to really quickly, just to write off of the last, about activism, because there was another caller who talked about, you know, this reckoning that Americans are having, like we've done the protests, we see it gets violent. We have a country that's heavily policed. There's a lot of money going into the military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a culture of punishment right now.
Mm-hmm.
So people are looking around like, what do we do? And I'm a child of refugees from Nicaragua. You know, we had one of the only successful revolutions, and we toppled the U.S. dictator. So take heart, Americans, like, this is your moment. You know, this is what you train for. Strikes work. Boycotts work. You have to cut them off where it hurts.
Thank you.
You know, don't drink the Coke. Don't go to McDonald's. These things fund what's ruining the world, and it's creating refugees.
Whether
you're in the Palisades or Altadena, you are a refugee of climate change today.
Thank you, Marlene. I really appreciate that. Thanks to everyone else who called in who I could not get to. We will, like I say, we'll try again anytime we can. Thank you. The saga continues. My thanks to our border operator, my board operator, Wendell Handy, to my producer, Desi Doyen, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it for free anytime at bradblog.com, where, as I said, we are now celebrating bradblog.com's 21st anniversary. Stop on by and say hello. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, Twitters, and most of all, Blue Sky, you will find me at The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.